Blessing of the New Fire and Incense. Last Wednesday, the catechumens were told to present themselves at the church for the hour of today's tierce, that is, 9 o'clock in the morning. It is the final scrutiny. The priests are there to receive them. Those who have not previously been examined upon the symbol are now questioned. The Lord's Prayer and the biblical attributes of the four evangelists having been explained, one of the priests dismisses the candidates for baptism, bidding them spend the interval in recollection and prayer. At the hour of noon, hour 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the bishop and all the clergy repair to the church, and Holy Saturday Vigil begins from this moment. The first ceremony consists in the blessing of the new fire, which is to furnish light for the whole service. It was the daily custom in the first ages of the church to strike a light from a flint before Vespers. From this, the lamps and candles were lighted for the celebration of that hour, and the light thus procured was kept up in the church till the Vespers of the following day. The Church of Rome observed this custom with great solemnity on Maundy Thursday morning, and the new fire received a special blessing. We learn from a letter written in the 8th century by Pope Saint Zachary to Saint Boniface, Archbishop of Mayence, that 3 lamps were lighted from this fire, which were then removed to some safe place, and care taken that their light was kept in. It was from these lamps that the light for Holy Saturday night was taken. In the following century, under Saint Leo IV, whose pontificate lasted from 847 to 855, the custom of every day procuring new fire from a flint was extended also to Holy Saturday. It is not difficult to understand the meaning of this ceremony, which is no longer observed by the Latin Church, save on this day. Our Lord said of himself, "I am the light of the world." Footnote, St. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. Light, then, is an image of the Son of God. Stone also is one of the types under which the scriptures speak to us of the Messiah. St. Peter, footnote, first letter of St. Peter, chapter 2, verse 6, and St. Paul, footnote, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, quoting the words of the prophet Isaiah, footnote, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, speak of Jesus as the cornerstone. The spark which is struck from the flint represents our Lord rising from his rock-hewn sepulchre through the stone that had been rolled against it. It is fitting, therefore, that this fire, which is to provide light for the paschal candle, as well as for those that are upon the altar, should receive a special blessing and be triumphantly shown to the faithful. All the lamps in the church have been extinguished. Formerly, the faithful used to put out the fires in their houses before going to the church. They lighted them, on their return, with light taken from the blessed fire, which they received as a symbol of our Lord's resurrection. Let us not here omit to notice that the putting out of all the lights in the church is a symbol of the abrogation of the old law, which ended with the rending of the veil of the temple, and that the new fire represents the preaching of the new law, whereby our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, fulfilled all the figures of the ancient covenant. In order to help our readers to enter more fully into the mystery of the ceremony we are describing, we will here mention a miracle which was witnessed for many centuries. The clergy and people of Jerusalem assembled for the service of Easter Eve in the Church of Holy Sepulchre. After waiting for some time in silence, one of the lamps suspended over our Lord's tomb was miraculously lighted. The other lamps and torches throughout the church were lighted from this, and the faithful took its holy flame with them to their homes. It would seem that this annual miracle first began after the Saracens had taken possession of Jerusalem, God so ordaining that it might be a proof to these infidels of the divinity of the Christian religion. The historians of those times, who have written upon the Latin kingdom of Jerusalem, all speak of this miracle as of an incontestable fact. And when Pope Urban II went to France, there to preach the First Crusade, he brought forward this miracle as one of the motives which should inspire the faithful with zeal for the defense of the sepulchre of Christ. When our Lord, in the unsearchable ways of his justice, permitted Jerusalem to be reconquered by the infidels, the miracle ceased, nor has it ever been witnessed from that time. Our readers have no doubt heard of the scandalous scene, which is now repeated every Holy Saturday in the Church of Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. We allude to the deception practiced by the schismatic Greek priests, whereby they persuade their deluded people that their ingenious trick for lighting a lamp is the continuation of the miracle. The Church also blesses the 5 grains of incense, which are to be used in this morning's service. They represent the perfumes prepared by Magdalene and her holy companions for embalming the body of Jesus. The prayer said by the bishop, when blessing the incense, not only shows us the connection there is between it and the light, but it also teaches us what is the power these several sacred objects have against the wicked spirits. The bishop, with his attendants, goes in procession from the church to the place where he is to bless the fire and incense. The fire, as we have already said, is the symbol of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the sepulchre whence he is to rise to life is outside the walls of Jerusalem. The holy women and the apostles, when they go to the sepulchre, will have to go forth from the city. The bishop, having come to the appointed place, blesses the fire by the following prayers. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. O God, who by thy Son, the cornerstone, hast bestowed on the faithful the fire of thy brightness, sanctify this new fire produced from a flint for our use, and grant that during this Paschal festival we may be so inflamed with heavenly desires that with pure minds we may come to the solemnity of eternal splendor. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, almighty Father, never failing light, who art the author of all light, bless this light that is blessed and sanctified by thee, who hast enlightened the whole world, that we may be enlightened by that light, and inflamed with the fire of thy brightness. And as thou didst give light to Moses when he went out of Egypt, so illumine our hearts and senses, that we may obtain light and life everlasting. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O holy Lord, almighty Father, eternal God, vouchsafe to cooperate with us, who bless this fire in thy name, and in that of thy only Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord and God, and of the Holy Ghost, assist us against the fiery darts of the enemy, and illumine us with thy heavenly grace, who livest and reignest with the same only Son and Holy Ghost, one God for ever and ever. Amen. The bishop then blesses the incense, thus addressing himself in prayer to God. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, thy abundant blessing on this incense, and kindle, O invisible regenerator, the brightness of this night, that not only the sacrifice that is offered this night may shine by the secret mixture of thy light, but also into whatever place anything of this mysterious sanctification shall be brought, there, by the power of thy majesty, all the malicious artifices of the devil may be defeated. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. After these prayers, an acolyte puts some of the blessed fire into the thurible. The bishop then senses the fire and the incense, after having first sprinkled them with holy water. Another acolyte lights a candle from the blessed fire, that the new light may be brought into the church. The deacon then vests in a white dalmatic. This festive color, which contrasts so strongly with the purple cope worn by the bishop, is used on account of the joyful ministry which the deacon is about to fulfill. He takes into his right hand a reed, on the top of which is placed a triple-branched candle. The reed is in memory of our Lord's passion. It also expresses the weakness of the human nature, which he assumed to himself by the Incarnation. The three-branched candle signifies the Blessed Trinity, of which the Incarnate Word is the second person. The procession returns. Having entered the church, the deacon, after advancing a few steps, lowers the reed, and the acolyte who carries the new light lights one of the three branches of the candle. The deacon then kneels, as do also all the clergy and people. Raising the light on high, he sings these words, "The light of Christ." All answer, "Thanks be to God." This first showing of the light expresses the revelation made to us by Jesus of the divinity of the Father. No one, says he, quote, "knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom it shall please the Son to reveal him," end quote, footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 27. After this, all rise, and the procession advances as far as midway up the church. Here the deacon again lowers the reed, and a second branch of the candle is lighted by the acolyte. The same ceremonies are observed as before, and the deacon sings on a higher note, "The light of Christ." The whole assembly answers, "Thanks be to God." This second showing of the light signifies the world's receiving the knowledge of the divinity of the Son. He appeared and dwelt among us, and, with his own sacred lips, taught us that he was God, equal to the Father in all things. The procession continues as far as the altar steps. The third branch of the candle on the reed is lighted, and the deacon once more sings, but on a still higher and gladder note, "The light of Christ." Again, the response is made, "Thanks be to God." This third showing of the light signifies the revelation of the divinity of the Holy Ghost, which was made to us by our Savior when he commanded his apostles to do what the church is to do this very night. Quote, "Teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." End quote, footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 19. It is then by Jesus, who is the light of the world, that mankind has been taught to know the Blessed Trinity. The bishop, before administering baptism to the catechumens, will ask them if they believe in this great mystery. During the whole of this night's service, they will have before their eyes the expressive symbol of the Trinity, the three-branched candle. This, then, is the first use to which the new fire is put, to proclaim the Holy Trinity. It is next to publish the glory of the Incarnate Word by lighting up the glorious symbol which is now to be brought before us. The bishop is seated on his throne. The deacon kneels before him and asks a blessing before beginning the great work entrusted to him. The pontiff thus blesses him. "The Lord be in thy heart and on thy lips, that thou mayest worthily and fitly proclaim his paschal praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Thus prepared, the deacon rises and goes to the ambo. The acolytes, holding the triple candle and the five grains of incense, are standing at his side. Near the ambo is a marble pillar, on which is fixed the Paschal candle.